The Old Testament reading comes from Exodus chapter 24. Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the just decrees. And all the people answered with one voice and said, "All the words that the Lord has spoken, we will do." And Moses wrote down all the words of the Lord. He rose early in the morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain and 12 pillars, according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the people of Israel who offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen to the Lord. And Moses took half the blood and put it in basins, and half the blood he threw against the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people. And they said, "All that the Lord has spoken we will do, and we will be obedient." And Moses took the blood and threw it on the people and said, "Behold, the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words." Then Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel went up, and they saw the God of Israel. There was under his feet, as it were, a pavement of sapphire stone, like the very heaven for clearness. And he did not lay his hand on the chief men of the people of Israel. They beheld God and ate and drank. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading comes from Hebrews chapter 9. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, even through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of his creation, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the sprinkling of the defiled persons with the blood of goats and bulls and with the ashes of the heifer sanctifies for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Therefore, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. For where a will is involved, the death of the one who made it must be established. For a will takes effect only at death, since it is not in force as long as the one who made it is alive. Therefore, not even the first covenant was inaugurated without blood. For when every commandment of the law had been declared by Moses to all the people, he took the blood of calves and goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the covenant that God commanded for you." And in the same way, he sprinkled the blood both the tent and all the vessels used in worship. Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. Matthew, the 26th chapter. On the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying, "Where will you have us prepare for you to eat the Passover?" He said, "Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.' And the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. And when it was evening, he reclined at the table with the 12. And as they were eating, he said, 'Truly I say to you, one of you will betray me.' And they were very sorrowful and began to say to him one after another, 'Is it I, Lord?' He answered, 'He who has dipped his hand in the dish with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born.' Judas, who would betray him, answered, 'Is it I, Rabbi?' He said to him, 'You have said so.' Now as they were eating, Jesus took the bread, and after blessing it, broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink of it, all of you, For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day, when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went to the Mount of Olives. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. A little boy was once asked how many days of the week there were. He said, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Monday, Thursday. It's not Monday, Thursday, it's Maundy, Thursday. Maundy is, the word is translated to what we would use in English would be a command, Thursday. And I'll talk about that in a few minutes. Of all the weeks of the year, this is the one week that is talked about probably more than any other week in the entire year. Jesus is in the upper room with his disciples. Now, we do not know whose house it was. The Gospels don't explain that. Tradition has it. You know, I always say with some of these old traditions, tradition and, $1.20 in this tradition will get you a cup of coffee. But it's sometimes thought that it was John Mark, who would be the author of the Gospel of Mark. It was his mother's house. Does it matter? No. What matters is they were celebrating the Passover. That's the center celebration of the Jewish year. It ranks right below Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. But Passover was extremely important because it commemorated the time when they were slaves back in Egypt. It began with that great battle between Pharaoh and Moses. First nine plagues, plague after plague, and Pharaoh still wouldn't bend. The tenth plague is the angel of death. He passes over the homes of the Hebrews. Now, earlier we had our Seder dinner, our Passover dinner, with some Christian understandings added then to it to show how Christ was a complete fulfillment of what Passover was all about. Various parts of the Exodus story were connected to the various things that we were eating. First and foremost, keep in mind, a lamb had to be sacrificed for every family. Something had to die for the angel of death to pass over. That, of course, is foreshadowing what Christ would do, the Lamb of God who would die on the cross for our sins. We had the matzah bread, the bread of affliction. They had no time to put the leaven in the bread. They had to hurry it up, get it done, and leave. We had the bitter herbs to remind us of the slavery that they suffered. The salt water being the tears. And we had the mortar. There were four cups of wine that we had. This is what they were celebrating that night in the upper room. Then Jesus, after dinner, took the bread, broke it, says, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took a cup with wine and he drank it from it and gave it to the disciples. "Drink ye all of this, for this is my blood which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins." The Lord's Supper. It's one of the things that we call in the church a sacrament. Sacraments, by the way, man-made word, you'll never find it in the Bible. We define a sacrament as something that God commands, something that we can see, and by which we receive the forgiveness of sins. Again, it's a man-made term to explain something. We have baptism and communion. The Catholics have added about five others. That's, you know, if y'all want to discuss that, invite me over for coffee. Larry says no. But what we do want to discuss is that Jesus is the fulfillment of that Passover meal. The cup he takes is the cup of salvation. Because through communion, we are receiving his body and blood for the forgiveness of sins. We're not being freed from the slavery of the Egyptians. We're getting freed from sin itself. All the Passover celebrations, from the very first one, all the way through till Christ, was incomplete because they didn't drink that third cup. It just sat there because it wasn't to be drunk until the Messiah came. Of course, a very well-known verse from John 3 tells us, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Or as St. Paul puts it, "For God demonstrated His own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And we thank God for that incredible gift. It cost Him dearly. Like the lambs that had to die in that very first Passover and died every Passover then afterwards, Christ is then the final sacrifice for our sins. And I said Maundy Thursday means Command Thursday, because Jesus gave His disciples and us a new commandment. He said, "A new commandment I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Sadly, the Jews have looked at, and I would say many people have looked at sometimes the scriptures as a set of rules you have to keep to make God happy. It's not about that at all. It's not we do that out of duty. We respond to God and His incredible gift of salvation by loving one another. One of the early church fathers in the second century wrote, commenting of the pagans of his day, "Behold how these Christians love one another, how they are ready to die for each other." A Bible commentator wrote in conclusion, "The magnet that drew pagan multitudes to Christ is love. It has the potential to still do the same today." And tonight we celebrate the love of Christ that He gave us when He gave us His body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins. So may the peace of God, which is above all of our human understanding, keep our hearts and minds always focused on Jesus Christ until life everlasting. Amen.